أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، مبير الظالمين، رحمة للعالمين، أبي القاسم
محمد
على أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعن الله أعداءهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله قوله الحق، وأصدق القائلين: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. صلاة الله I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to be back here at Zainabiyya amongst family and friends. When you initially invite a guest over to your house, the host and the guest, both of them, initially are very careful with each other. They're very reserved. They want to make sure they don't upset each other. They want to make sure that the first impression is a lasting one. And so the host is very careful that he doesn't disrespect the guest, and the guest in turn is very respectful towards the host's needs. And the second time that guest comes over to the house, there's a little bit more comfort between the guest and the host. And that awkwardness that initially was there is no longer there anymore. The third time now that the guest comes over, now everyone's more relaxed. The guest knows the host knows the guest. And the guest is able to freely express what he wants to say to the host, and vice versa. This is my third time at Zainabiyya. And so, most of you know who I am, and I of course know all of you very well, enough that I'm comfortable with all of you, and you, inshallah, are comfortable with me as well. But with comfort comes a little bit of a test, where now I'm able to freely express what I want to say to you, knowing full well that you will not take it in any other way. Because now we are in the month of Muharram. This is not Ramadan, it's not Rajab, it's not Safar. It's a very special first 12 days. And tonight being the first night of the month of Muharram, we need to understand what exactly this is that we do every single year. Because every single year when a moon of Muharram is seen, at least in my opinion, issues begin to arise amongst our youth especially. And nowadays there's a series of questions about our system of azadar that we have throughout the year. And our youth are confused. Our kids have questions. And sometimes when these kids and these youth have a series of questions and they go unanswered, then they become a little bit more confused. And their image of azadar changes completely. And so we have a grave responsibility. Whether it's a person sitting up on this member or it's a person sitting up on the, in the audience, we have a huge responsibility to make these kids understand what it is that we do every single year for at least the first 10 days of Muharram. And why is it that we stop what we do every single evening, we drape these walls in black, we drape ourselves in black, and we come here every single night. We have exams, we have a job to do, we're busy at work, it doesn't matter. Every single night we are here at least for the first 10 days. And our youth need to understand why this repetition, this constant redundancy that happens every single year is extremely important for us to understand why this happens. Because my fear is that the aspect and the philosophy of Imam Hussein's mission is being lost year in and year out. Simply because our youth have so many questions and they don't get the answers that they're looking for. Because our parents come from a background where whatever is told of them, they accept. Whereas the kids nowadays are a little bit more, as they said, odur deep. They ask questions, why? Marhum Mawlana Zishan Hadar Jawadi Rahmatullah Alayh had a very, very interesting way of putting it. Since the kids in the West, they come inside their house and they say three things and then they leave. They say hi, why, and then bye. And that constant process of finding out why wasn't something that our parents grew up with. But now we live in a society where these youth want to know the philosophy behind some of the actions. Hatta even the Sharia laws. The questions that we are asked as students of the Hawza is, why is it that we do it this way? Not how do we do it, why do we do it? And if, God forbid, these questions go left unanswered, these youth and these kids become a little bit more hopeless towards Islam. That if we present Islam as an answer to humanity, if you present Islam as a way of freeing yourselves from the clutches of shaitan, then we should have their answers from him. And when we don't, it's dangerous. And if we see this mission of Imam Hussein that starts tonight as a mission for humanity, then at least we should be able to answer the questions about why do we do this, why do we do that. Every single year, it seems to me, there's more controversy, there's more questions, and there's more problems arising. So tonight, as a means of introduction to this revolution in Imam Hussein's, I want to very briefly introduce my topic to all of you, of course, and let you know that I'm here for 12 days, inshallah. But really what I want to do is I want to take Imam Hussein's mission and break it down into different aspects, and understand why Imam Hussein left Medina and Mecca to come to Karbala. Why Imam Hussein had children and women in his qafila. Why Imam Hussein elected to give up his entire life but not give bayah to someone like Yazid. Understand that this is not about 1400 years ago. It's about today. It's not about Hussein ibn Ali, it's about the Hussein inside of you. It's not about Yazid ibn Ma'aviyah, it's about the Yazid inside of you. And it's revival that we do every single year, to the point where these kids are able to tell me now the Messiah of Karbala and the story of Karbala is this idea of reviving that Karbala inside of you. Islam is a very practical religion. Always understand that. To my youth and to my kids, this is not a religion of just theory. It's not some old religion that our parents made up or our parents have brought to us. It is a religion of today. It is a system of today. And Karbala is that system that must be revived within us today. Otherwise, we live in the West. We live in a satanic society. We live in a society that does not allow us to openly practice Islam. Especially nowadays. And so we need some other salvation. And one of that salvation, of course, is Karbala. Is Ashura, is Imam Hussein. There is an entire philosophy behind Imam Hussein's mission. It wasn't some war that happened in the 61st Hijra, blood was shed, there were some people who died and that's it. Absolutely not. Wars have come and gone. World War II, 40 million people died in World War II. 40 million people died. The UN was created after World War II to avoid wars like that, but since then there have been a ton of wars. But the 61st Hijra in a small place called Karbala, with a few people today, every corner of the globe remembers that war. And right now, as I speak tonight, right now, in every corner of this globe, Imam Hussein is being remembered. Wherever there are Shias, wherever there is a masjid, whether it's in this part of the world or in that part of the world, Imam Hussein is being remembered. And we must stop and realize and ask ourselves why. What is so important about his mission? What was it that he did that today, not only is it alive, but there is this constant lead towards the Day of Ashura, where the level of grief begins to increase and increase, and the climax is the Day of Ashura. And we cry as if it happened in front of us. And we cry as if it happened to our own fathers. And we cry as if we were there to witness it, even though it happened 1400 years ago. There's something very special happening here. There's something very revolutionary happening here. And we have to be able to understand it. And this generation of ours that comes out every single year, alhamdulillah, they take part in our programs. They have to understand what it is about Imam Hussein that is so grand. Because right now, and again, I don't want to be controversial, and that's not my intention, but there is an immense and a huge amount of money being spent on trying to minimize this mission of Imam Hussein. From day one, the ziyarat of Imam Hussein has been difficult. You read up the history of Karbala, you know that there was a time where you had to sacrifice a limb to go say your salam to Abu Abdullah. Your children, even today, right now, a lot of us want to go to Karbala, but for Imam Hussein, I think it's safe. 2 years ago, I was in Karbala, alhamdulillah. I flew from Iran to Syria. To give an example of how difficult even today it is, given all the fact that we have visas and we have planes and we have money and we have everything, even today, the enemy of Imam Hussein has made it difficult for us to get to the study of Imam Hussein. The question is why? 2 years ago, I flew from Iran to Syria, and then I drove from Syria all the way through Jordan to Karbala. And I must have done at least 3, 4, 5 safaris before I went down to Karbala. I was told not to go, I was told don't go, I was told it's dangerous. I had my mom with me, I had my younger brother with me, I had a number of people with me. But we climbed into a bus and we drove down to Karbala. And it was probably the most difficult ride I'd ever done. It's simply because my life was at danger, and then I had my mom with me, I had my brother with me, I had a number of people with me. But alhamdulillah, we made it, and we made it safely, and we came back. But the idea is, what is it about Imam Hussein that the enemy keeps us away from? It's the idea that Imam Hussein instills in us this idea to rise up against oppression. It's this idea that Imam Hussein for us is that flag of justice. And when we go to his haram, and when we attend his majas, and when we shed tears for him and his family, that flame of oppression inside of us is once again lit. It makes us open our eyes to see who is the Yazid of today and who is the Hussein of today. And wherever you see Hussein, we support him. And wherever you see Yazid, we rise up against him. And that is what the enemy is fearing. And that is what the enemy does not want from us. We pray namaz, we keep our fast, we give our homes. He's okay with that. But the moment we rise up against oppression, the moment we stand up against tyranny, at that moment then the enemy says, wait a second now. It's getting a little bit out of hand. And so literally, millions of dollars are being spent yearly worldwide to make sure this system of Azadari is either lost in its message, or they create this fear inside of us. But alhamdulillah, we are the Shias of Ali alayhi salam. And fear for us is not an option. We don't fear death, we don't fear even punishment. What we do fear is losing this grip of Karbala from our kids and from ourselves. That's what our biggest fear is. And so it's vital that if your children these 10 days ask you questions about why do we do this and why do we do that, don't blow them off. Don't say, oh, because you know what, I did it and your father did it and they did it. No, answer their question properly. And if you don't understand, then ask someone who does. Because these kids want to understand, they want to learn. They want to be close to Islam. But not because you're telling them to, because they believe it inside their hearts. One of the signs of the zaybat of the Imam and his reappearance is what? That the sun will rise from the west. We have in our riwayat that the sun will rise from the west. Physically, the sun can never rise from the west. The entire system of the solar system will fail if that happens. Our ulama have taught us what? Our ulama have taught us that this is a metaphor. It's an example. But the sun being true Islam and the west being the west. So one of the signs of the reappearance of the Imam is that true Islam will rise from this part of the world amongst our youth. may not seem that way right now. But there is a definite movement right now to understand what true Islam Muhammadi is all about. And thus our youth have so many questions. And when they're not given the proper answers, they get frustrated. And they go toward other isms that right now exist, that have lured our youth away from the path of Islam. And so we have a grave responsibility. I do as well as you do. But this mission of Karbala for us is extremely important. And these next 12 nights, inshallah, aspect by aspect, we'll break down what Imam Hussain went to Karbala for. For example, he went to go save Tawheed. He went to go save La ilaha illallah. Tawheed in itself is a huge discussion. We must understand what Tawheed is. We say Allah is one, Allah is one, Allah is one. We understand it is a root of Islam. We understand it is one of our aqaids. Fine. But what does it mean to say Allah is one? What does it mean to say that Allah is unique? Qul huwallahu ahad. Our youth must understand that. Imam Hussein went out for Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy bin Munkar. What does that mean? And what does that apply for me today? Imam Hussein went out for the Islah of the Ummah of his grandfather, he says. What does Islah of the Ummah mean? These all require discussions. These all require knowledge to be spread to our youth. And so we have a responsibility tonight, being the first night of Muharram, to plant the seeds within our youth. Our first Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, has a very beautiful hadith. He says that the heart of a youth, is like uncultivated land. That whatever you plant in that land, that is what will grow. And so our youth have come to us with this land that's uncultivated. And they're asking us to plant things in it. At the same time, this society has also approached our youth and said, look, you have land, I'll give you what to plant. And my fear is that what they will offer the youth is more attractive than what we will offer the youth. And 20 years, 30 years from now, when everything has been grown inside of the heart of our youth, at that moment, to bring them back to Islam is very difficult. Now is the time. These young people in front of me, now is the time. Their land is ready for us. But we have to be able to understand what it is that we have to plant. And one of them is this mission of Imam Hussein to the highest degree. Let them understand why Imam Hussein was in Karbala. Because nowadays, these first 10 days are being used for other purposes, unfortunately. We see this member is not being used for unity, but rather for being used for disunity. The people use this member for their own personal gain, not for the gain of the Ummah. That nowadays, there's so much hatred amongst our own Shias across the world when it comes to Azadari, that it's embarrassing sometimes. And in this process, our kids are being lost. And the essence of the message of Karbala is being drowned. We're stuck on alams and tabuts and all these different things when really the message of Imam Hussein is being lost. If you go online to some of these web forums and these chat forums, you'll see that the discussions online nowadays are useless with all due respect. Why? Because the efforts have been made by the enemies to reduce Imam Hussein's mission. So why do we do matam? Why do we reflect? Why do we cry every single year? Why is it every single nation brings in their new year with celebration, but our new year is all black and gloomy and sad and black and matam? And these are questions of our youth. And we don't have the answers for them. And so they go somewhere else. But if they understood what it is that Imam Hussein brings about, then they wouldn't have these questions. And so my intention these 12 days is to truly break down Imam Hussein's mission, to understand that everything we have today is because of Hussein. And everything that humanity has today is because of Hussein. And so wherever I go for the first 10 days, I always ask the committee, and I'll ask the board of and trustees of NMB as well, the same thing. That we have a little bit of a problem, I see us in the world, is that we block ourselves in these four walls. And we do our azadari amongst these four walls, and we leave. Whereas Imam Hussein's mission was for who? Was for humanity. And so my request to you, the trustees, the board, the president, whoever is the decision making here, is to open up these doors to non-Shias, to non-Muslims. Have one day in the first 10 days where you ask the members of your community to invite your non-Muslim and non-Shia friends. Let them come sit here, let them understand what it is being preached from this member, provided that the speaker understands that he is not to say anything that will drive them away. That's another issue altogether. That's a big issue. But here we are inviting you to come and listen to the message of Imam Hussein, and what's being said from this member is hatred, is filth, is disunity, is driving away non-Shias and non-Muslims away from us. Right now the image they have of Azadari is on BBC.com or CNN.com, where someone is holding a sword and there's blood dripping down from his head and his white footprint is drained in blood. And that's their image of Azadari. We need to change that. Imam Hussein did not only go out for bloodshed and tears. I'm sorry to say that. Yes, these tears have a huge arzish, amazing value. But there's something above and beyond this that we need to grasp. And sometimes when we close our doors to everybody else, they have no other choice but to make up their own philosophy. And that's the problem. The image we have of Karbala right now is, like I said, our enemies are showing us. So I don't know how you want to go about it, but you can have that. You can have a day, let's say, the first Saturday of the first 10 days, where you invite non-Shias, where you invite non-Muslims, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, whatever the case may be. Let them see what we do. Introduce Imam Hussein to the world. Let them know why the first 10 days of our new year is far more important than any other time of the year. That's one request I have. The second request I have is, and you'll forgive me, I arrived last night straight from Iran, so I'm a little bit, one, jet lagged, number two, I'm not feeling well either, I'm fighting a flu and an infection, and I'm a little bit weak right now, so just take tonight as an introduction, so then tomorrow with a little bit of effort in your duas, I'll be more energetic, but a 20-hour flight sometimes drains you a little bit. So. My request, secondly, is of time, inshallah. The website says 7:30. I'd like to begin right at 7:30. I only have 45 minutes with you. And so if that gets cut in, half an hour is not enough for me to get my message across to all of you. So 7:30 p.m. sharp, inshallah, we should start. That gives me 45 minutes, and then, of course, one of the kids has 45 minutes as well. If we start later, then, of course, that cuts into our time. The other request I have is that when I was here in Ramadan 2 years ago, we had a number of our youth attend. And I don't know what the situation of the youth is like nowadays, 2 years later. But if we could do our best to get our kids out and come out, at least to the English program, their constant complaint is that, you know, we don't understand Urdu and we don't get the language. Well, that is no longer the case here. You have made the effort, alhamdulillah, to bring about an English speaker to feed the needs of the youth. So it's only fair that the youth come out and support that. And so if you do have kids in your home that do not attend regularly, let them know that, look, there's an English program too, and their excuses now are limited. Before it was language, it was school, it was homework. Let them know, at least for the first 10 days, sacrifice a little bit. It's only for 2 hours. The Zainabiyah has made a program such that in 2 hours everything will be wrapped up. And that's not a lot to ask for. So inshallah, from tomorrow and moving forward, these few recommendations will be looked at, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The other aspect that I wanted to discuss very briefly, in respect of time, of course, is that my mission for the first 12 days, and it's very tough to change the first 12 days, is that the mindset of a youth right now is that this Garabala system that we have every single year is a very cultural system. And that it has no bearing to religion. Hatta even our youth even say that our prophets and our imams never commemorated Imam Hussein's martyrdom the way we do today, which is wrong, of course, and I'll discuss that in the next few nights. Where our Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have revised to say that he would hold a number of madalases before the birth of Imam Hussein for Imam Hussein. And the biggest gathering that he had was, of course, on the day of the birth of Imam Hussein, where he cried for Imam Hussein and he made his family cry for Imam Hussein. The first day he was born, the third day he was born, on the seventh day after his birth, they had the same system of majalis, where the Prophet cried for Imam Hussein in Karbala. Imam Hussein was 7 days old. The waqiyah of Karbala had not happened yet. And here you have the Prophet crying for Imam Hussein and making his family cry with him. So this idea that some of our youth have, that this system of azadari that we have, this marsiya, these nohas, are all cultural, let's make sure that we wipe that from their minds. This system of marsiya, let me just tell you very briefly, our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, had a companion by the name of Ibn Affan. He was a poet at that time. And Imam Sadiq would ask him to present poetry on Imam Hussein for Imam Sadiq. And it would become a tradition to start most of the programs with some poetry read about Imam Hussein. Imam Sadiq's companion would read poetry in a very formal and civilized way, talk about the virtues of Imam Hussein, the attributes of Imam Hussein, and so on and so forth. But Imam Sadiq would stop him and say, no. From Muhammad Ali Muhammad Salawat. And our sixth Imam would stop him and say, oh my companion, I want you to read this poetry the way you would read it in your town. In the town of Ibn Affan, they would read poetry on a deceased and they would beat their heads while reading it. And Imam Sadiq wanted him to read Imam Hussein's poetry like that. So the system that we have of Marsiya before the Majalis is actually the sunnah of our sixth Imam. Let's understand this. On one side we have our youth who have a lot of questions and our parents can't answer them, that's fine. But on the flip side, I'm not going to leave the youth that free. The youth also have a responsibility. You guys have a lot of questions, no doubt. Why do we do this and why do we do that? My request to all of you is go out and do your own research. One of the fundamental issues we have with our youth is that they have a lot of questions, but they won't search for the answers. And until they're not convinced, they won't even take part in those programs. Hatta Sharia laws, for example. A lot of the laws do not make sense to us. Our aql is limited. I'll give you an example. For our sisters, for example, if you were to read namaz in front of a non-mahram, you have to wear socks. Okay. If there's a mahram in the room, you don't have to wear socks. Some of our sisters don't understand that law. They don't even appreciate that law. They don't get it. They say, oh, you know, what's up with my feet, and my feet are this, and why don't you come cover my feet? And until and unless I understand that law, I'm not going to practice it. Baba, that's not a prerequisite for you, I'm sorry to say. In your limited aql, you don't have to understand the sharia of the law to follow it. If you are so confused about why this is, go and ask for it. Why is this sharia this way? This idea that until I am convinced that this makes sense, I'm going to follow it, does not sit well with Islam. Same idea with Karbala. People now have issues with Makam. They sit in the corner and they do this. Now, you know, this is a little bit barbaric for me. Beating their chest. Tell me where in Islam that our Ahlul Bayt, that our Imams ever beat their chest. Our youth ask. Or cry the way they cried. Our youth ask. In history there are so many incidences where our system of Azhar today has been got from our Ahlul Bayt. So these types of shubahat, these types of questions that we have to be removed from the minds of our youth. One by one, until they can accept that Imam Hussein's mission is above and beyond these 10 days of simply grief, inshaAllah. But of course, sometimes understanding Imam Hussein's mission with our logic and common sense is not enough. Emotion takes a huge part in understanding Imam Hussein's mission. That's why we have a number of hadiths about the value of one teardrop for Imam Hussein. Where literally, some of our hadiths have said that one tear can act as that one drop of water to wash away all of your sins. Where even if you can't cry, they say, make a face as if you are crying. If you can't do that, it says to create those wrinkles on your forehead as if you are grieving. If you can't do that, lower your head at least. That's how much value it is to grieve for Imam Hussein. And as we know, Imam Hussein died for 40 years, he cried for Imam Hussein. For 40 years he cried for Imam Hussein. Are you saying, no, all we do is cry, all we do is cry, all we do is cry? It's that emotion that triggers that revolutionary aspect inside of us that allows us to understand that Imam Hussein went to Karbala to revive Islam and to turn Islam as it was in the hands of Yazid upside down. And so tonight, we start off our first 12 days by giving fursa. Giving our condolences to who? To the mother of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When there was a tragedy in the house, for example, if a parent loses a child, then we console the parent by saying, look, you still have your other children, you still have your husband, you still have your grandkids, you have to be strong for them. If a child loses his mother, then you tell the child, look, you still have your father here, he's still your guardian, he will look after you, not alone. If a husband loses their spouse, then you tell the husband, look, you have your children to look after, you have to be strong for them, vice versa. But how do you give fursa to a woman who's lost their entire household in one day? Where do you start by giving fursa to Bibi Fatima Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam? As she loses one member of her household, where do you start? How do you possibly grieve with that mother? Because as you know, Imam Hussein and Janab Zahra were very close. This relationship between a mother and a son, as you know, even today, is very unique and very special. And back then it was no different. Hatta on the day of Ashura, when Imam Hussein was going for his ruksat, when he was leaving the qafila and the tents, and the women and the children would pull on him and say, who are you leaving us with? Abbas is gone, Ali Akbar is gone, Ali Asghar is gone, Qasim is gone, all of Muhammad are gone. All we have are you and Imam Sajjad, who are you leaving us with? So they would pull on Abbas and say, don't go, don't go. But Imam Hussein had a mission. Imam Hussein had to go. And so he would lead towards the Maidan of Karbala and they would call for him to come back, to come back, to come back, and Imam Hussein will not come back. Until Bibi Zainab came out and said, Yabna Zahra! At that moment Imam Hussein stopped. Turned around and went back to Bibi Zainab. It wasn't until Bibi Zainab said, oh, son of Janab Zahra, come back. Then Imam Hussein came back. Bibi Zainab said that our mother had told me about this day. And she kissed Imam Hussein on three places on the day of Ashura. On his forehead, on his neck, and on his chest. And she said, on the forehead is where the rock will hit you. On the neck where the arrow will strike you. and on the chest where the horses were trampling about. Our mother told me to kiss you on these three specific places. And it won't end just there. This sisla of the day will go until the day of Jagadha. In a revived, say the biggest majlis, the biggest azadai will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allama Amini in his Ghadir writes that when the entire Jamiat on the day of judgment will be gathered there, the first person that will be called forward will be Fatima Zahra salamu alayhi. And she'll be asked to make her way towards Jannah. And she'll stop at the door of Jannah and turn around and she'll say, I will not enter this heaven until someone tells me what they did to my Hussein on the day of Ashura. And a voice will come and say, you want to see what happened to your Hussein on the day of Ashura? Look in the middle of the Maidan of Makkah. And I revise, say that in the middle of the Maidan of Makkah, 7 billion so-odd people will be there. In the middle, there'll be a body that will stand, that will be headless. And so this is what your ummah did to your son on the day of Ashura. And she will cry for Imam Hussein. And when she cries, the Prophet will cry. When the Prophet will cry, every makhluk will cry on the day of judgment and will scream, Ya Hussein, on the day of judgment. This system of azadai that we have is very real. And so we stand here tonight, we give fursat to Bibi Zainab. I don't know for what. Do we give fursat to her for the spear that struck Ali Akbar's chest? Do we send our condolences to Bibi Zahra for Hazrat Abbas's arms? Or do we give fursat to Bibi Zainab for the fact that she stood there on Tina Zainabiya and watched Imam Hussein in his last few moments where he was out of conscious and back into consciousness? Hatta to the point where the enemy wasn't sure if Imam Hussein was alive or not, they would ask him, how can we tell? If Hussein is alive, a voice comes from Yazid's army and says, if you want to check if Hussein is alive, make your way towards the Khaymar Gah. Make your way towards the tent. The moment that Imam Hussein heard this, he opens his eyes. He says, as long as Hussein is alive, you have no business towards the Khaymar Gah. But Al Hussein, I'll tell you this, after you left, they burned the tents of the Khaymah. They tied up your women and they took them as prisoners. We know that on the 20th of Rajab, when they were leaving Medina, this Qafilay Nur for Karbala, and the ladies one by one were going on the horse or on the camels, the last woman to leave the home was Bibi Zainab. And it was announced before she came out that all the men are asked to lower your gaze and lower your heads. The daughter of Ali is coming outside right now. And Bibi Zainab came out and all of her honor and all of her dignity, Ali Akbar came forward, Abbas came forward, Hussein came forward for istighbar Bibi Zainab. They said that Hazrat Abbas knelt down and put his knee forward so Bibi Zainab can step on his knee and climb onto the horse. And there to help her onto the horse was Imam Hussein. But the same Zainab will return that favor to Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. When Imam Hussein stands on the day of Ashura, looks to his left, looks to his right, and says, where is my Abbas? Where is my Ali Akbar? Where are my own and Muhammad? Where is my Qasim to help me? Climb onto this hook. At that moment, Bibi Zainab will come out and say, Hussein, your Zainab is still here. And she will help Imam Hussein climb onto that horse. And so these tears that you are right now shedding, these tears of arzish, they have value. And tears have been shed for Imam Hussein before, they are being shed right now, and they'll be shed until and including on the day of judgment. And so one of the aspects that we have to understand when it comes to the connection of Imam Hussein is this emotion that it triggers. When the name of Hussein triggers that emotion inside of us. Not just 10 days of Muharram. Every Thursday we read about Imam Hussein. Every Friday we read. Yomi Arafat says, it's better to be in Karbala than the actual land of Arafat. Every single year on Eid, we Zayat al-Ashura. Shab al-Qadr, part of the Amal, Zayat al-Ashura. Why? To revive that emotion. To make you understand that Imam Hussein's mission is very real. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this Qaleel Ibad, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand the true mission of Imam Hussein, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and to shower us with tawfiq to understand what it is that our role and our responsibility is during these days of Muharram, inshaAllah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.